Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on the International Forecaster when we come back. Well, Joe Smith started the day early, having set his alarm clock made in Japan for 6 a.m. while his coffee pot made in Japan is perking. He puts his blow dryer made in Taiwan to work, and then he shaves with his electric razor made in Hong Kong. Then he puts on a dress shirt made in Taiwan, his designer jeans made in Singapore, a pair of tennis shoes made in Korea. And after cooking up some breakfast in his new electric skillet made in the Philippines, he sits down to figure out on his calculator made in Mexico how much he can spend today. Then after setting his watch made in Switzerland to the radio made in Hong Kong, he goes out and gets in his car made in Germany and goes looking, as he has for months, for a good-paying American job. Then at the end of another discouraging and fruitless day, Joe decides to relax for a while, so he puts on a pair of sandals made in Brazil, pours himself a glass of wine made in France, and turns on his TV made in Japan, and then wonders why, again, he cannot find a good-paying American job. Now, why doesn't Joe look for a good-paying American private business dealing in property instead of income? Now, if you'd like to tap into the power of private business and increase instead of public business and income, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package? Now, that's a four-hour commentary. It's a commentary on the law in general. It's informative. It's entertaining. It's educational, and best of all, it's free of charge. Now, why don't you call right now? The number is 417-273-4967. Let me give that to you again, the area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to the website georgegordon.org. Just click on to the email machine and then send an email request for that free General Law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, we've been reviewing the International Forecaster. Now, the International Forecaster is an underground paper, an underground newsletter. It's like black marketeering. And it's an information paper. There's probably hundreds of these newsletters and information papers that are out there. I recommend three right at the top of the list: International Forecaster, The Privateer, and The Money Changer. Those are the three. McIlvany Report and James Cook. I mean, there's dozens of other guys out there that are all good. And I don't mean to slight Don or James Cook or anybody else. It's just that we can't subscribe. If you're like I am, you know, you can't subscribe to every newsletter that's out there. So you got to pick one. Or two, or three. Now, here's one. Jot this down. It's called Kitco.com. Kitco.com. They probably put out 10 newsletters. Free. You don't have to subscribe. Now, they're in brief. The one that I like the most on Kitco is called the Mogambo Guru. His name is Richard Doty. He's down in Florida, too. All these guys live in Florida. They're all wealthy, rich. They're all fat cat conservative gold hoarders, and they all live in Florida. I'm up here in the Rust Belt. They live in Florida. But that just goes to prove how successful they are at selling newsletters, I guess. I don't know if they're successful in their investment strategies, but they're at least successful in selling their newsletters. And these newsletters are the counterbalance to the mainstream media. It's the counterbalance. As old Paul Harvey would say, it's the rest of the story. Let me give you the rest of the story. So this week I'm reviewing the International Forecaster. This guy's name is Bob Chapman, and I hear nothing but good reports about Chapman. I have never heard a bad report about Chapman. Well, I guess unless you went to the Bush administration, I'd probably get a bad report. But Everybody that I talk to, every source that I read has nothing but good reports. He's been in this business for 46 years. My understanding is he's an ex-CIA man. If that's not correct, well, you correct me, but that's some of the information that I've got secondhand hearsay from other people. And this newsletter is about average. It's $130 a year. It's probably the biggest newsletter that's put out and has the most comprehensive subject matter and material content of any bar none. And I say of any bar none, I don't subscribe to every newsletter in the world, so there may be some bigger, better ones out there that I don't know about. But this newsletter, you know, it's 32 to 40 pages every week. Every Saturday comes out. Comes over the internet, comes on the email. So it's fast and it's convenient. It's there every week. You can also get it by snail mail. I think they publish it twice a month on snail mail. Now, I don't know if that's 60 to 80 pages. I can't tell you what the content is. I'm getting mine over the internet. And I don't even do that. That's done by my staff, and they bring it in here, and I sit it on my desk. I probably read 30 of these a week. So I don't know if I'm smart because I read 30 a week, but I'll tell you this. I get a lot of information that goes between my ears. A lot of information that comes in here, and I don't get that information watching the news media. Now, I watch the Lehr News Hour every night. I watch Bob Schieffer and Jennings, and who's the guy on NBC now that Brokaw's off? I've forgotten his name. But I watch those major television news stories. And we get the Wall Street Journal, the USA Today. We get the Newsweek and Time and U.S. News and World Report. And we subscribe to and we review the major news stories, the major news media. And let me tell you, you do not receive 25%, not a quarter, of what's contained here in the International Forecaster in your mainstream press. Now, they oftentimes will have a story. For instance, I reported last program, they had a story on the house bubble. But the mainstream press, they present the housing bubble as missed opportunity. If you don't buy right now, you're going to miss your opportunity. And if you buy now on an interest-only 30-year mortgage, you may be surprised that the great profits that you're expecting won't materialize as you expect. Now, that's the thrust of the mainstream press. Now, the thrust of the underground press is if you buy a house on an ARM, that's an adjustable rate mortgage, or an interest-only mortgage, and you're getting into this housing bubble by leveraging yourself out, you're going to get wiped out. You are going to get screwed, blued, and tattooed. You will probably never recover in your lifetime from that mistake. Now, that's the difference between the two approaches. I subscribe to that latter view. And especially since government now has encouraged you over the last 5 years to use your house, use the equity in your home as a piggy bank so that you can get in on all of the consumer spending down at Target and Best Buy, and to buy a new SUV that now costs $2 a gallon to buy gas for. And you're in debt up over your eyebrows, and you now have this new bankruptcy law. A new bankruptcy law that says, in effect, yeah, you can come in and file for bankruptcy, but we'll tell you how much you're going to pay for the rest of your life. It's the introduction. This new bankruptcy bill is the introduction to feudal serfdom from the 15th and 16th century. And it's going to be imposed right here in America. And indeed, I imagine it's going to be imposed upon you Europeans as well. And there's a warning shot going over the bow. You know, there's these underground newsletters that are saying, hey, boys and girls, it's time for you to wake up. Now, most conservatives are free and clear, have a 4-year food supply, and we're battening down the hatches, getting ready for the coming storm. The average American doesn't know that there's a storm coming. He is not listening to the weather reports. He's listening to rock music. He's listening to something else. He's tuned out. Now, last time I told you I was going to tell you a story about the mercury poisoning that's in your vaccines. Well, listen to this. When President Bush signed the Homeland Security Bill into law, there was an unknown member of Congress who inserted a provision into the legislation that blocks lawsuits against the maker of a controversial vaccine preservative called thimerosal. It's used in vaccines that are given to children. Now, Eli Lilly makes thimerosal, and it is a mercury preservative that many say causes autism in thousands of children. And now the House Majority Leader, Dick Armey, tells us that he did it to keep vaccine makers from going out of business under the weight of mounting lawsuits. And he said, "I did it, and I'm proud of it." A typical scumbag politician. Orders to put it in came from the White House. The Bush family is very close to Eli Lilly. Bush, the elder, sat on their board in the 1970s. White House Budget Director Mitch Daniels was once a Lilly executive, and Eli Lilly's CEO, Sidney Taurel, serves on the President's Homeland Security Advisory Council. Again and again, Americans get screwed by our government. When does it end? All right, now let me pause here. Dick Armey is out of the Congress now. He retired, I think, in 2002 or 2004, I forgot which. Dick Armey put that rider into the bill so that Eli Lilly, this multinational corporation that makes billions of dollars a year, would be held harmless. You can't sue them. That kind of legislation, which favors big business, just like the bankruptcy of UAL, that's United Airlines, and the scrapping of their pension system, screws all of the employees of the company. Now, maybe it needs to be done. I'm not here to criticize the bankruptcy judge or the decisions made. But I'm here to point out that the Congress just enacted a bankruptcy revision that's going to apply to Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife that does not apply to United Airlines or General Motors. I think just as a rule of fairness, that if you're going to have bankruptcy for General Motors and United Airlines, shouldn't you have the same bankruptcy provisions for Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife? That if General Motors can scrap its pension program, which is coming up next, they're going to follow the United Airlines pattern. You're going to find that all of the major corporations are going to follow that pattern. They'll have to in order to compete. And then as our country, as our economy goes into the pit, you're going to have something to keep your mind off of that. And so we have a war coming in Iran. They're the next target. And the reason that it's Iran instead of North Korea is because they've got 25% of the world's oil supply. Iraq has 25%, and Iran has 25%. Now we got Iraq's oil, now we're going to take Iran's oil. And this, of course, isn't being lost on the ears, boys and girls, of a billion Muslims around the world. You know, they're kind of ticked off about that. Now, if you were getting this kind of information, and on a regular basis, you know, every week, you know, you'd be subscribing here to the International Forecaster, it will change your mindset, and instead of buying a new condominium for $130,000 or $300,000 or whatever, you will stockpile a four-year supply of food, which will cost you about 50 cents a pound and will cost you about $1,000 for a four-year supply for one person. And I think for a family of four or five, $5,000 invested in a food package, food storage program, over the next 4 years would make more sense than to buy a $300,000 interest-only mortgage that costs you about $1,000 or $1,400 a month. You know, $1,400 a month over the next 4 or 5 months would make you food sufficient, food independent for the next 4 years. And that condominium is going to make you a feudal serf for the next 30. Now, there's a choice for you to make, And I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm just here to suggest to you that why don't you get more information before you run out here and do some of these things that the mainstream press and President Bush and all the politicians are telling you, hey, the economy's in great condition. Outsourcing, what is it, 2 million jobs now overseas over the past 4 years? And boys and girls, this outsourcing of jobs isn't just manufacturing jobs. And I want to point out that manufacturing accounted for 53% of the gross domestic product in 1960. Today it's down to 9%. 9%. I don't think that's good. You know, that's like poking holes in the side of the Titanic and saying, it's okay, boys and girls, we've got big pumps that are pumping the bilges. You know, well, every time you stick another hole, you know, in the ship, you got to have another pump pumping the water out. And if at any time there's a power failure or a pump goes haywire, you know, that could spell disaster. So conservatives are concerned about, now I'm an old-timey conservative from World War II, and I can remember rationing. Now that's a strange word that Americans' ears have not heard in this country for about 60 years, but rationing was that process whereby we distributed and shared the shortage. And boys and girls, there's coming some big shortages. Shortages, that is rationing. A military draft. Bigger and more all-inclusive wars. The world is about to change very dramatically. We see this in Bible prophecy, but we also see it in the underground press. You can also see it when you compare the underground press with the news media. They're not lying to you all the time. See, they're telling you the truth about 75% of the time, then they lie to you about 25% of the time and keep you deceived 100% of the time. That's the way the program works. Now take a look at automobiles. Now here's an article here on page 13, a little paragraph, and it says nearly 40% of consumers who traded in for a new car last year owed more on their trade-in than it was worth. That's called negative equity. 56% of buyers under 40 were upside down. Now that's more than half of the buyers who are under 40 years old are insolvent. Even with a down payment of 15%, a typical buyer who takes a 60-month loan is upside down for 45 months because the vehicle's value drops faster than the loan principal. On an 84-month loan, it is 73 months before you can break even, and on a 96-month loan, they have negative equity for 7 years. 25% of the buyers are in negative equity of $3,000 on their old vehicle when they drive the new one off the lot. So that $3,000 is then added to the new debt. 25% of buyers pay cash, having borrowed from lenders, relatives, or from personal savings. Well, you know, I look at numbers like that, and I look at the trends, and I say, okay, well, the American people have come to the conclusion, that is the majority of people under 40, 56%, they don't see any problem at all in buying an automobile and having a negative equity. Now, little Georgie's sitting over here, and I store food. You know, I'm like a squirrel. I think that you need a four-year food supply, and I got that from a story in the Bible of a guy named Joseph, and he stockpiled a seven-year supply. 7 years supply in preparation for a great famine. Now, there's some prophecies in Jeremiah and Ezekiel that talk about a siege. Now, a siege in biblical terms is what today we would call an embargo or a trade war. And all you have to do is pay attention here. You see, the Chinese are holding about $600 billion. Now, that's six-tenths of a trillion dollars worth of American paper. And they took that paper in good faith. We gave it to them, and we said, well, you can come spend that anytime. And now we're over here inflating our money by about 12% a year. Now that means that at this time next year, the $600 billion that the Chinese are holding, let's just take that number, 600, and let's just go times 0.1212. They're going to lose about $72 billion worth of purchasing power. Now, how would you like to have $600 in the bank, and over the course of 1 year, you lose $72 worth of purchasing power? I mean, you got the same number of dollars. You got the same $600 in there. But prices have gone up. It's going to cost you $672 to buy the same amount of goods. And you've got the United States government over here pumping out these new dollars all the time, depreciating, actually stealing about 12% of people's purchasing power. It's a theft program is what it is. Remember God told you thou shalt not steal? Well, this is a theft program called inflation. It's been going on for a long time. And these people that are buying these automobiles over here don't seem to understand what they're getting involved in when they're making these loans and these notes. Of course, they don't learn anything about the Bible and thou shalt not steal in public school. But that doesn't mean that that law doesn't have a penalty. Or it doesn't mean that there aren't consequences that come from making these kinds of business deals. I mean, you go down and you buy a new car and you sign a promissory note and you've got a job over here and then you can't make these payments because you lose your job. You know, that could have some domino effect. That could mean that we're going to take your house away from you. We're going to take your bank accounts and savings program. We're going to take everything we can away from you. So let me suggest again my private business class. That's just for people, you know, that are a little bit concerned about this negative territory and where is the economy taking us. And, you know, preparing for, in other words, if you were prepared for World War II, you'd have had a 4-year supply of food in 1941. And you would have had, you know, several cans of coffee because coffee became rationed. And you might have bought a vehicle, and you might have stockpiled some tires, because tires were rationed. And you might have thought about getting yourself into a better position to get a Class A ration card for gasoline. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do to prepare for tough times. When you see that the Titanic is steaming at 23 knots, straight into 5,000 square miles of icebergs, trying to set a new transatlantic record on a ship that's unsinkable and only has half enough lifeboats. You know, just common sense ought to tell you, we should be prepared for the sinking of the Titanic. Now, if it doesn't happen, that's wonderful and that's great news. But if it does happen, we're prepared for it and we will live to sail another day. Now, let me tell you a little something about the FBI power here. This is from the International Forecaster, again, page 13. Now, due to the massive fraud, AIG may lose its license to do business in Florida. George and the neocons and Republican Senate leadership are pushing a plan that would significantly expand the FBI's power to demand business records in terror investigations. Now, every investigation is a terror investigation today without obtaining any approval from any judge. The Fourth Amendment need not be considered. This proposal will be considered by the Senate Intelligence Committee next week. This is part of a broader plan to extend anti-terrorism powers under the law known as the Patriot Act. This administrative subpoena power is being sought for the FBI in terror cases, and it is already in use in more than 300 other type of crimes, including health care fraud, child exploitation, racketeering, and drug trafficking. They just really want to use it on anything at will, and this will give the FBI total, unchecked power and authority in any investigation, and it will completely nullify any privacy rights under the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution. Now, this is a very dramatic expansion of the federal government's power, which lays the foundation for a police state. Now, the first thing that they will go after is medical records, then tax records, and then gun purchase records, and everything pertaining to everyone to put it into a master file for future reference on every American and all foreigners who travel to the United States. Now, in this kind of legislation, there are no safeguards, and with it, your freedom will be lost forever. Now, you didn't hear that on the 6 o'clock news. But you heard it here in the International Forecaster. Now, there's a statement in the Scripture. There's a principle of law in the Scripture that says, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. So here at the Law Hour, what we do is we take the International Forecaster and a number of other publications. And before we publish or before we broadcast a story like this one here over the Patriot Act or coming legislation, what we try to do is to find a second or a third source for that story, so that at the mouth of two or three witnesses we can establish the matter. And even at that, once in a while we screw up and we put out a bad story. And then when we do, we try to correct that. But you don't hear very many corrections on the Law Hour. That's because we don't make very many mistakes. We try our best here to make sure that the information that you get is factual, that it's up to date, or at least as close to up to date as we can get it. Now, when you see this kind of power, you look back in history and see, well, did Joe Stalin do something like that? Did Lenin do that? Did Adolf Hitler do that? Is that something that's common practice in police states? Yeah, it's pretty common practice. It's what I see historically. Does that mean America is turning into a police state? Yep, that's exactly what that means. Yep, we're turning into a police state. Does that mean the end of the world is coming? Not necessarily. The people of Argentina went through a very traumatic economic collapse, and the people of Argentina are still there. They weren't deported to South Africa and a bunch of new people come in and take over. The Argentines are still there, working their way out of this economic collapse. And the Argentine people have been through the brutal dictatorships in the past, as the people of Chile and Brazil and Bolivia and other countries have in the past, just like the Russians and the Chinese. And you know something? They live through it, and then a better, brighter day comes 20 or 30 years later. The people of Romania went through a brutal 40-year occupation and dictatorship under communist repression, and gosh, guess what? The Romanian people are still there, and now they've got a breath of freedom on the horizon. Okay, so life goes on. The people of Germany lived through the Nazi era. They went through World War II, lost the war, and then went through a brutal occupation on both sides of the border. And now Germany and German people still live there in Germany, and they're making their way as best they can in the world. So these kinds of events transpire. We Americans have not experienced that. We don't have any, you know, the average Joe Sixpack American doesn't have anything to hang his hat on. He hasn't got a place in his mind where he can say, well, gee, I need to do this or that or another thing to avoid these calamities. And so he goes out and he buys a condominium for $300,000 on an interest-only mortgage. He doesn't have any place to hang the consequences of that action. He's too young. He can't remember. He didn't learn. He went to public school. He's been dumbed down. All right, so when that happens, you have to learn from experience. And experience, my daddy told me, is the best teacher that God ever created. There's just no way that you can beat your own personal experience. He's told me that it's just a god-awful hard way to learn, son. Now, if you'll pay attention, I'll tell you the answer. You come to me and ask me, and I'll tell you what happened when I did that. And that's what I recommend here. You know, a lot of us old people, you know, when we get into our 60s and 70s and 80s, you know, we've been around the block a couple of times. You know, we're not total fools and totally stupid. Some of us lived through the Great Depression. Some of us can remember the World War II. We can remember rationing in the Korean War. Did you know there was rationing in the Korean War? Did you know there were shortages? I was a paper boy in 1950. 51, 52, 53. Did you know that we were rationed? We couldn't get our rubber bands. We couldn't buy bicycles. We couldn't get bicycle tires. You know, most of you people can't remember that. Never heard of it. I'm here to tell you that it's coming again. And that's what the underground press and the newsletter writers are trying to tell you. If you want to listen. Now, if you don't want to listen, you know, you got a dial there on your radio. Just turn it. This is called the International Forecaster. It's put out by Robert Chapman. This is the May 2005 number 3 issue. It's called Volume 9 number 5-3. Now you can subscribe to the International Forecaster. I highly recommend it. It's Post Office Box 510-518. Six digits. Post Office Box 510-518, Punta Gorda, Florida. That's spelled P-U-N-T-A-G-O-R-D-A, Florida, 33951. -0518, and he tells me you got to have the whole nine digits. That's 33951. That's the zip code. Then you got to put on 0518, zip plus 4, in order for him to get it. It's $129.95 in U.S. funds, and make the check out to Bob Chapman. Now, that's assuming, of course, that you people have checking accounts. Like, if it was me, I'd send him a postal money order and send it blank so that he doesn't have to even put his name in it, and he can just hand it out, spend it someplace, and do a little private business there. Hey, we're at the halfway point. I got to give you a couple of reminders here to satisfy all of the laws of the land. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. And The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Gordon Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. The Law Hour is updated weekly. The website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archive. Remember that all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet for your convenience. They're archived by title and date. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. Don't forget, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the Law Hour, an editorial review, puts out sources of information that we use on this program, and we believe that they're true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. Now, the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to the authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, newsletters, and so forth to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications so endorsed or recommended are going to reciprocate. That means that many of these guys that we do reports on might not like our report. Like Bill Buckler down in Australia. He didn't like our report, and he says, don't you do that again. Well, okay. But that doesn't mean I still won't recommend his newsletter. I mean, his newsletter is well worth the money, and it's well worth reading. It's just that he doesn't approve of the Law Hour. He doesn't approve of the editorial review. He doesn't like me. He doesn't like our program, and he doesn't want me to review his newsletter. All right? And so that's what that means. And that's because most of these authors and these publications that we cite or use on the law are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not endorsed necessarily by the Law Hour, an editorial review, nor do these authors or publications endorse the Law Hour or editorial review. So always remember that, you know, just because I review something on the air and say, hey, I think this is really great, and the guy that I'm reviewing may say, that guy Gordon's a right-wing lunatic fringe fanatic. I don't want anything to do with him. But that doesn't mean that I don't want anything to do with Bill Buckler. I mean, that guy puts out one whale of a good newsletter called The Privateer. Privateer. And I not only recommend it, but that guy's got his head screwed on straight. He might not like me, but that doesn't mean that he's dumb or that he's got a bad program. All right, now keep in mind, too, that the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily, they ought to, but they don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of the network or of this local radio station. So don't blame them. Blame me. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, or call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. We have to give you a disclaimer once in a while, make people feel good, make them feel happy so that they don't get bummed out. Let me tell you a little story here about inflation. In April, the index for rent and owners' equivalent rent increased 0.3% and 1%, or 0.1%, respectively. Now, this perfectly illustrates the fraud in the consumer price index. Now, let me repeat this for you again. The consumer price index is put out by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. It's called the BLS. Put out by the Labor Department of the United States government. Now, it used to be in the old days, I mean, you know, 20, 30 years ago, that when we got these numbers out of government, we relied upon these numbers because they were true, accurate, and correct. Now, what they do here is they give you numbers which are of and by themselves true, accurate, and correct, but that they are misleading in their final conclusion, which makes you believe a lie. And this comes out from our government, and they do this on purpose, and it's called spin. Spin. Spin is the politically correct term for we're lying to you. And this is the spin that we're putting on this story. Spin. That's a lie. We are lying to you. So in April, the index for rent and owners' equivalent rent increased by 0.3% and 0.1%. Now, this perfectly illustrates the fraud in the consumer price index. As most of the known universe realizes, housing prices are up double-digit rates. I mean, I've already read to you a couple of stories. The average nationwide housing price increases are 15% a year. Here's the BLS. They come out and they say, oh, no, it's 0.3% and 0.1%. Well, that's a lie. It's deceptive. However, the Bureau of Labor Statistics has owner's equivalent rent, which the BLS uses instead of actual home prices. So they use the rent price rather than the actual home price. That is, the prices that houses are going up. Now, increasing a scant 0.1% in April. So they used the lower number. That's 0.1% a month. That means it's 1.2% a year. Just take the 1 times 12. And that's 1.2% a year. So they can say, well, you know, housing prices are increasing at the rate of 1.2% a year. And that's well within the 3% per year inflation guidelines. Oh, no, boys and girls, that's not true at all. Housing prices are going up at the rate of 15% a year. That's more than 1% a month. Now, that's the truth. Now, in the laughter category is medical care. Costs rose 0.2% in April to a level of 4.3% higher than a year ago. Now, how can these figures be anywhere near correct when individuals and corporations are spending multiples of that? We believe that the CPI is underestimated by a minimum of 3% in any given month and as high as 6.5%. Incidentally, owner's equivalent rent accounts for 23% of the CPI. Wall Street sees the same research as we do. Now, where's their commentary? Could it be that Wall Street and the present administration, that is our government, are in bed together? And could it be that the mainstream press, you know, the Murdoch press and the Hearst newspaper syndicate and so on, that these newspapers and television stations are all owned by the same multinational corporations and that they're all in bed together to keep you dumbed down? Could that be the answer? I just throw that out for your consideration. Here's a little story here on Treasury securities. Maybe you didn't know this, but if you didn't, listen to this. If you do a comparison of the last 2 months' releases from the Fed on major foreign holders of Treasury securities, this is known as the TIC data published. on March 15th, then you will find that the reserve holdings of China, Japan, and Great Britain have been dramatically altered without any explanation. It is a rewriting of monetary and economic history. These changes are brazenly astonishing. Japan's and China's U.S. securities positions fell $20 to $30 billion, respectively. Not only have Japan and China stopped buying U.S. treasuries, but they are heavy sellers over the past 3 months. Supposedly, the hedge funds took up the slack from these mysterious Caribbean shell corporations. Yes, and we have a bridge for sale. That explanation is absolutely preposterous. We have reported on this for the past month, but now that the Treasury has presented these altered statistics, we now know that we're onto something really big, and the consequences are deadly serious for the entire world, never mind America, but for the entire world. As we suspected, the Treasury or the Federal Reserve System has been buying its own paper through these shell corporations in the Caribbean. It is called immediate debt monetization or printing press money. And we also see over the past 10 months an increase from Caribbean banking centers from $100 to $137 billion. Now that's a $37 billion increase. But a more telling set of numbers from the United Kingdom. From $59 to $122 billion, or a $63 billion increase. No mainline media has covered these events, nor has the financial media on PBS like Paul Kangas, nor CNN. The government has a Ponzi scheme going here. Now send this paragraph to your elected representatives and let them know that you know what is going on and that you want it stopped. The Treasury and the Fed should not be manipulating our debt or our markets. Well, that goes without saying, but then, you know, I can come here and I can report on this and I can write a letter to my Senator Kit Bond. I can write a letter to my Senator or representative, but let me say this. If the senators and representatives are in bed with the multinational corporations, I mean, isn't it the same senators and representatives that we have elected to Congress that gave us the Patriot Act and that gave us Homeland Security, that give us all these fits and problems to start with? Well, then, if these foxes that are in the Congress are our problem, then why waste the time writing these foxes a letter and telling them that we chickens know that we're being guarded by foxes? Don't you think that we chickens in the henhouse, once we know that we're being guarded by foxes, need to do something intelligent and constructive to save ourselves? I don't think I can save every chicken in the henhouse, but maybe I could save myself from the fox. Have you ever thought of that? I think it's a wild new concept. Now, most of the conservative newsletter writers want to save America. They want to save Americans from themselves. And little Georgie Gordon comes along and says, "Boys and girls, I'm not sure that we can save people from themselves. You know, people that are 40 years old and go out and sign a contract with GMAC Finance and indebt themselves for $30,000 or $40,000, have their head up their rectal region someplace, I'm not sure that there's much can be done for them. But there might be something that can be done for you personally. I mean, maybe you personally could save yourself from GMAC, but I don't think that we're going to save 53% of the American public under the age of 40 from themselves. I think that those chickens are going to get eaten. I think that you'd be doing a big job if you can prevent yourself from being eaten by the foxes." That's a wild new concept, but why don't you mull that one over a little bit? And then there's the CAFTA story, the C-A-F-T-A story. Have you heard about this? Well, the governor of New Hampshire, his name is John Lynch. He wrote to the U.S. Trade Representative, his name is Ambassador Robert Portman, withdrawing support for several recent trade agreements, particularly CAFTA. Now, CAFTA is called the Central American Free Trade Association. It's like the NAFTA agreement. It's an agreement. It's a treaty in violation of the scripture. Remember, God told us not to make any covenants or contracts, any treaties with these foreign and alien countries around us. Of course, we don't pay attention very much to God, but I just thought I'd share that with you. God told you not to do that, and you said, "Ah, come on, God, no, you're not hip, you're not with it. We're going to do this because it's in our best interest." Okay, well, since NAFTA, we've exported about 3 million American jobs overseas. And we got this balance of payments problem. We got an immigration problem that directly stems from NAFTA. I mean, come on, boys and girls. It's time for us to wake up and pay attention, smell the roses, and, you know, let's drink a cup of coffee here. New Hampshire will not be participating in the Panama and Andean free trade agreements currently being negotiated. Others who have rescinded commitments to CAFTA's procurement rules are Iowa, Kansas, Maine, Maryland, Minnesota, Missouri, Oregon, and Pennsylvania. So our state governors are starting to wake up to the fact that, hey, listen, we signed on to NAFTA and it cost us 3 million jobs. We're going to sign on to CAFTA and it's going to cost us another 3 million jobs. You see, the American public out here at some point in time is going to wake up and they're going to vote for the other political party, the Democrats. What that means is that you can move from the Republican to the Democratic. But it doesn't change anything because it's the Republicans and the Democrats that are all in bed with the multinational corporations and the New World Order and the Committee of 300. I mean, you know, you're dealing with the same foxes all over the place. Now, out there, there are a few bobcats that are after the foxes, but they're pretty rare. But there's more to the story. CAFTA is in trouble because U.S. trade policy has degenerated from a driver of economic growth to a sick joke. Voters are telling Congress that we don't want it. The claims and promises made on CAFTA's behalf are so flagrantly inaccurate, so intentionally contradictory, and so transparently absurd that even its supporters cannot possibly take them seriously. 50% of Central Americans live in deep poverty. What, pray tell, are you going to tell them? Or are you going to supply a credit card as well? Most of their imports are fabric to be re-exported back to the United States as clothes. They will be buying very little from the United States because most of it comes from work done in sweatshops. There can be no two-way trade. This is an outsourcing agreement in drag. We might get cheaper clothing, but legions of working poor in America are getting screwed again. This is a subsidy plan for Central America, just like our open borders are deliberately left open to draw the poor, uneducated, and diseased from Mexico, South and Central America. And all we're doing, as well as subsidizing Walmart, Best Buy, and Target, and other transnational elitist conglomerates. Central American agricultural tariffs will be phased out over 10 to 20 years, and ours are eliminated now. The deal is a sham, and it's a scam to also expedite world government. Now, when you see this story about CAFTA on the mainstream media, they always broadcast it in a positive light. Hey, this is a good program. Well, I suppose that Americans, being free, white, and 21, and being sovereign, and being voters and all, are supposed to be in touch with what's going on around them, and that you voters out there vote because you're informed. I don't know. I suppose that you believe you're informed, but are you really? That's why I thought I would take a broadcast or two here and suggest to you. I mean, you know, maybe you don't want to spend $130 on Chapman's International Forecaster. Well, then why don't you rip over to kitco.com? There's some free downloads over there. That'll set you off in the right direction. Maybe you're not prepared for Franklin Sanders' Money Changer. You know, I review the Money Changer here from time to time. That's an economic newsletter, an economic report. And Franklin recommends that you buy gold and silver coin. Franklin recommends that you batten down the hatches and get ready for the coming collapse of the dollar. So does the privateer, you know, the bucklers, and Bob Chapman, and so does Don McIlvaney, and I could cite, you know, James Cook and a dozen others. The Mogambo guru, he's on every week. He's got an article or two in there concerning inflation. He's really concerned with inflation. He keeps hitting on inflation. I mean, he's been telling us and telling us and telling us. The average American is out of tune with reality. So if you're tuned in to reality, then you need to get the other side of the story, as old Paul Harvey would tell you. And if it's $130, let me tell you, stop subscribing to your newspaper and Time and Newsweek and concentrate on the other side. You know, you can get Time and Newsweek secondhand. Sure, just go into any of these thrift stores and you can pick up, you know, National Geographic and Time and Newsweek and U.S. News and World Report. Hell, you can get used newspapers. Just tell your neighbor down the street to let you have the used newspaper. I mean, all you buy the newspaper for it is a crossword puzzle and the funny page anyway. Be honest. It's not the news value that you get out of the newspaper. And concentrate on finding out what the hell's going on around us. The economy is not booming, boys and girls. The economy has gone bust. It's being held up by you people out there refinancing your homes, using the equity in your homes as a piggy bank to get all of these billions of dollars in newly created money that's just created right out of thin air into circulation to make you people believe that you're more prosperous than you really are. Take a look at your debt structure. You know, when I was a kid in 1950, we didn't have any debt. Didn't have any debt. I can tell you today, I'm an old man now, and I don't have any debt. Now, I'm going to be affected when the economy collapses. I'm not deaf, dumb, and blind. I'm going to hurt just like everybody else. But I don't think my house is going to be foreclosed on. And I don't think my car is going to be taken away from me. Now, of course, I don't drive a new car. I drive an old one. My car is a 1989 van. Maybe it's a 91. I kind of forget now. 89, 90, 91, along there. I drive this old van around, paint peeling off of, but I own it. I'm not making any payments on it. It might not be worth much, but whatever equity is in, it's mine. And that's what I recommend, and I think that's what most of these newsletter writers are recommending, that maybe you can't afford a new Porsche or something like that. But, you know, maybe if you owned this thing free and clear, you'd be better off. I think you'd be better off if you had a free and clear house, a free and clear car, and a four-year food supply, and maybe $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 worth of gold and silver stashed away. I think you'd be in better position. And I think that's just about what most of these newsletter writers are recommending. Now, I know that that's kind of crazy. And the average American, I had a student in here the other day, he said that his sister was laughing and making fun of him because he wasn't in the stock market and they're making all this money in the stock market. Well, gosh, you know, the stock market in 2000, when it went bust in March of 2000, cost the stockholders $7 trillion. I mean, they lost $7 trillion in purchasing power. Now, the stock market has rebounded. It has rebounded. And now it's at its same absurd highs, and it's being manipulated to be kept at that height. You know how they're manipulating the stock market? Let me share this with you. They got a thing called the plunge protection team. You've probably heard that term. It was created back in the Reagan presidency because the stock market collapsed one Thursday in 1987. And they had to do something pretty dramatic. And so what they've got is the Federal Reserve through these shell corporations that are scattered around through the Caribbean. And when the stock market goes down, they just come into the market and bid it back up. I mean, after all, they create this money out of thin air. You have to go out and work for it. You get so many dollars an hour. These people, they don't work for it. They just create it. And that buoys the market up. And they've got a number of these financial maneuvers that they use. These are called the Wall Street brokerage houses. And they use these maneuvers to manipulate the stocks. The stock market is an empty, hollow shell. There's nothing free. There's nothing market about it. It's not a market. It's a contrived ruse. And because of that, if you've got your money tied up in it, when this thing goes south, you're going to lose your purchasing power. These banks and brokerage houses lose nothing. They never had anything to start with. They've got a license to create it out of thin air. It's like a license to write checks, which I'm sure that every one of us would like to have. You go to your bank, and you get a line of credit, and the banker says, here, just take this checkbook right here, and you just write checks for whatever you want and buy whatever makes you feel good, and we'll clear your checks and make sure that the store gets paid. That's what the Federal Reserve has. It's a license to steal is what it is. Now, I don't think the average Joe Sixpack out on Main Street has any concept that that's what's going on, and maybe it's a shock to your ears, but that's where reality is located, and that's why I'm recommending that you get some information from an alternative source. It's kind of like a contractor. You know, the advice is, why don't you get two or three bids, and then why don't you ask for some references, and to see whether or not these people are telling you the truth. Same thing with a doctor. You know, you go into a doctor and they recommend, well, why don't you get two or three opinions? Go to another doctor and have him look at your gallbladder and see if it needs to be cut out. It could well be that the guy that you're talking to has a boat payment. And maybe the doctor's view that you need surgery, maybe you could do a little better with another doctor, maybe medication. Just a thought. So I just told you the CAFTA story over here. Let's take a look at oil reserves. Leonid Shabarshin, if that's the way you pronounce his name, S-H-E-B-A-R-S-H-I-N, Shabarshin, ex-chief of the Soviet Foreign Intelligence Service, who heads the Russian National Economic Security Service consulting company, says that on the pretext of fighting international terrorism, the United States is trying to establish control over the world's richest oil reserves. He believes the United States wants to impose their democratic order on the greater Middle East. The U.S. has usurped the right to attack any part of the world on the pretext of fighting the terrorist threat. He said Al-Qaeda is not a group, but a notion. A fight against a myth deliberately linked to Islam is of great advantage for the Americans, as it targets the oil-rich Muslim regions with military bases in Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan. He said the U.S. has already encircled and established control over the Caspian Sea region, one of the world's largest oil reservoirs. He wrote of this in 1992, and no one was listening. Boys and girls, he didn't say that last week. He said that in 1992, 13 years ago. And that's precisely what we now see occurring in the Middle East. But then that's been American policy now for a long time. Remember the International Forecaster? Their webpage is theinternationalforecaster.com. All right, we got to leave it right there. I got to sign off. We're just about to the end of our allotted time. Keep in mind that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our webpage. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Now, to order yours, just go to the telephone and pick it up and call 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967, or go to our webpage, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email and send me an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school and is open to individuals by pre-arrangement. All of these law or programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. We're out of time. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.